this, if you do this, I brought you in the world, and I'll take you out of the world. Unity is something that is it's far from us. But it's in reach. It's almost like a 3D. It's right there. We're reaching for it. We're reaching for it. But we just can never seem to get it. And if we're going to have unity, we, number one, have to fight for it. Not only fight for it, but we have to be willing to let go of everything else that stops us from having unity and begin to join together. In Acts chapter 2, we're going to read verses 40-47. Amen. And then we're going to get into the message here this evening. Go ahead and read it in Spanish.
Perseveraban en la doctrina de los apóstoles y en la comunión unos con otros, en el partimiento del pan y en las oraciones, y sobrevino temor a toda persona, y muchas maravillas y señales eran hechas por los apóstoles. Todos los que habían creído estaban juntos y tenían en común todas las cosas, y vendían sus propiedades y sus bienes y los repartían a todos según las necesidades de cada uno. Y perseverando unánimes cada día en el templo, y partiendo el pan en las casas, comían juntos con alegría y sencillez de corazón, alabando a Dios y teniendo favor con todo el pueblo. Y el Señor añadía cada día a la iglesia los que habían de ser salvos.
I like what verse 47 says.
Me gusta lo que dice el verso 47.
Praising God, having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. The first thing it says in this long line, a list, if you will, praising God. They were worshiping the Lord, not just in church, but on the job. In the car, they were praising the Lord. In the beginning of the verse, Peter says this. He says, be saved from this perverse generation.
No,
what do you think he's talking about? What do you think what perverse generation? Here is a word that in our language, we would think it means immoral.
Que podríamos pensar que era inmoral.
Sexually immoral.
Una sexualidad
perverted.
Pervertida.
Child molesters.
Una, abuso de niños.
Rapists.
Violador.
Fornicators.
Pecador.
But that's not what it means.
Pero no es lo que dice.
Peter is preaching to his own people right now. They're Jewish people. They're from all over the region. They're Samaritans. There's all kinds of people gathering. Remember, Jesus had just died. What we know as Pentecost is the Passover. And Peter is telling them to repent from this perverse generation. Now, I know this, that there was no real perversion in Israel. They weren't talking about the teenagers fornicating. No, they weren't. And I'll tell you why. Because Jewish history The mom and dad married the kids off at 13.
Los padres, casaban a los niños a la edad de los 13.
So that when they grew in their sexuality, and they wanted to have sex, they could do it with their husband or wife. So it wasn't talking about that. What Peter was talking about is the division amongst the Jewish people with religion and versus the spiritual power of God. Because now the church is starting to see what in the Old Testament only one or two men or women can see. Because in the Old Testament, this is what happened. God spoke to one person, and that one person gave him the word. But in the New Testament church, God is speaking to the people, and His Spirit is moving. And this is what Peter's referring to. He's referring to this word perverse. It has nothing to do with the way we think of it. It's a Greek word. And it has to do with the manipulation, with the changing of what God, the Holy Spirit, is doing. And so he's talking about unity. Because as you read the verses, the people were glad. I notice sometimes we're not very glad in church. We have a lot of issues in church. Maybe it's because we're not in unity. Maybe because we're not fighting for unity. You see, there's something powerful here because it uses this word perverse generation. And these are people who only listen to the law. The law. The law. Only the law. If they don't dress right, if they don't look right, if they're acting right. And then he goes on, there's something here that he says, gladly received. And then they begin to do something about it. They gladly receive the preaching. Let me tell you something tonight. Don't ever say that was a good sermon if you didn't hit the altar. Amen. Well, let me say it again. Don't say, Pastor, that was a good sermon. If you didn't hit the altar. Because this is what the word means, perverse. It means that we're focused more on the law. We're focused on what we want to focus on. The Bible says that a sign of a church is that people are receiving what the pastor is saying. I like what he says here. Because they begin to move together as one. It's almost like worship tonight. Wasn't that beautiful tonight? Amen. Come on, that was awesome tonight. But let me tell you something. It's the push. Can I tell you some stories? Is that okay? You know, about 6 months after my wife and I came here to San Diego, we started having bilingual services where I would preach. We have a translator. We had Spanish and English music. God began to just open up doors. The people of God began to receive gladly His word. When you receive gladly God's word, you fight for your mentality. You fight to have the right thoughts. Amen. The Bible says that when the devil comes, that he sets up a stronghold in our mind. But when these people received gladly God's word, it says they were baptized. It says that they were steadfast. And they were together in agreement with the word of God. They fellowshiped together. They begin to break bread together. For us, it would be getting some tacos together. Some mulas. Amen. Getting together and having a good time. And so it's a sign here of a church. They begin to battle together. They begin to help each other. They begin to move together in unity. As long as the devil keeps us split, then we're always going to fight against each other. Did you hear me tonight? As long as the devil keeps us split, divided, then we're always going to fight against it. There was this holy man in the Middle East. 30 years he was a holy man. And he meditated 18 hours a day. And then he prayed the rest of it to make up 24 hours. Many people from around the world used to come and talk to him. And one day this other man decided, I'm going to make this guy fall. I'm going to mess him up. Because he wondered, how can this guy be holy? How can he be holy for so long? So he began to watch him. And one day somebody came up to him. And he gave him wisdom. And that guy took out a check and wrote him a check. And blessed the holy man. And the holy man tore up the check. And the guy walked away. So the man that was watching him, he saw another man come. And he gave him a wisdom. The holy man gave that man wisdom. And then he said, you know what, I want you to have this. He gave him a brand new car. And the man took the title of the car and gave it to the poor. So finally, as the years went by, this man came to the holy man one day. And for years, he never saw him twitch or do anything wrong. And he put his hand on the holy man's shoulder. And he said, I heard your brother is doing better than you. And the holy man went. And he realized how he was going to get him. When the devil divides a family, that's how he gets us. Divide and conquer. And so we see that what Peter is doing, what he's preaching. And then we have an account of what the Holy Spirit is doing. And it tells us what we looked for. The people were praising God. Can somebody say amen? Somebody say hallelujah. Amen. They were praising God. And they were having favor with all the people. In other words, people were blessing them. There was ministry happening. They were looking at them with favor. Amen. And the Bible goes on. And it says, and the Lord added to the church every day those people that were being saved. Now I want you to know something tonight. What you think in your mind is the way you're going to respond in life. If you know, there are some people that will themselves to win. There's some people that will themselves to lose. Back in the day, I had the privilege of watching Mike Tyson beat people down. As a matter of fact, before he got in the ring, he beat him down. If you ever saw Mike Tyson fight, he had black shorts, black tennis, and he was dark himself. And he would come out of to come into the ring, and he always entered second. Whoever he was fighting, they were shaking. You can see in their face. They already beat. But one day, Mike Tyson was coming down to fight. And there was a man in that ring that day named Buster Douglas. A nobody. Before that, he had been a drunk on drugs. But this man believed that he could beat Mike Tyson. And Mike Tyson couldn't beat him in the beginning of the fight. And when he got in the ring, he got a beating. Mike Tyson lost that day. You see, I believe tonight that if we fight for to win this victory, that everything around us changes. I believe that whatever we believe tonight, if you believe that you're cursed, then you will live that way. If you believe that you need a chance, then you will live that way. But if you believe that God has given you the victory, that your past is in the past, and you have a new day ahead of you, then you're going to respond that way. You're going to march that way. Whatever you do, it's going to be because of what you believe. A great football player. He used to say this. The winner or the champion is not the one who is skilled. It's not the one who is the strongest. But it's the one who believes he's the champion. That's the champion. Now I want you to understand tonight. Up until this point, the church was stepped on by Rome. There was no church. There was nobody to go. If they wanted to get fed, they had to go to the Jewish synagogue. They had to accept what their parents had. And now God was pouring out His Spirit. And He was doing something new. And the people of God were receiving that. Now let me tell you guys this tonight. Praise Chapel San Diego. Why can't we be the ones that the Holy Spirit comes down on? Why can't we be the ones that God pours out supernaturally? That we're the glad ones. That we're the ones with favor. That we're the ones that are together in unity. Why not us? Why not me? Why not me? I heard this story of a great preacher. He preached his first sermon. And his leader, the people that were teaching him, told him, "You're not called to be a preacher. You can't preach very well. You don't have this or that. But you know what this man read? He read the Bible. And the Bible said, if any man, if any man, he said, I'm a man. That's all I needed to be, was a man. And he became a great and powerful preacher. You see, many of us, we believe what everyone tells us. You can't do that. You can't say that. You can't preach. You can't do this. Well, I want you to know tonight. Yes, we can. Si se puede. Yes, we can. We can do this. God could use us. As we gather together, you and I have to make the decision to fight the battle and to believe God, to believe the Word of God, and not listen to everybody else. If any man, whosoever, and there was a man, and there was this woman, and she met Jesus at the well, and this beggar, we just have to believe. The Bible talks about in Revelation chapter 12 that there was a great war in heaven. And this war in heaven, the Bible says that there was no room there. So they kicked the devil out. They kicked the devil out of heaven. I want you to know tonight, there needs to be no room up here for the devil. We need to kick the devil out. I said we need to kick the devil out. Don't give him no more room. Don't let that lying devil have any room in your mind. We need to kick the devil out of the church. We need to kick the devil out of the ministry. You see, when you and I come together in unity, there's power, there's grace, there's mercy, there's gladness and joy. That's what we're looking for tonight. We're looking to see this. Oh, well, you know what's happening at the other church? I don't care what's happening over there. I want what's happening right here. Come on, somebody. Hey, you know what they're doing over there? I don't care. I want what's happening right here. Now, don't get me wrong now. We do gather together. And there's times we come to worship. And there's times we have joint services. We go out with other churches. But I'm going to tell you something. The Bible never tells us that that's where you get instruction from. Doesn't it ever tell us that that's where you get a vision and a goals and all that. You get all that from being planted in the local church, in the body of believers. Let me tell you something tonight. How do we know what kind of tree you are? If you don't plant yourself. Come on. How do we know what you are? Until you plant yourself. And you begin to grow. Then we know what you are. I want you to understand something tonight. It's important for us. I believe tonight. There are some things that we have lost. I want to tell you this story. I've told it before. But I'm going to tell you again tonight. Because it's worth hearing again. I was, what's the old guy's name? I forgot his name already. The guy, the story. Lester Summerall. I had this story of Lester Summerall. He's a missionary. He was a wealthy man, and he became broke and poor to go preach the gospel. He's the one who put the radio, the gospel, translated the gospel and put it on the radio around the world. He lost his wife. Not death. She left him. Kids backslid, but stood faithful. And I heard this story of him somewhere in Central America. He had visited this city, and they were going to go up to a mountain to an indigenous group. And so as he was preparing to go up there, he checked into his hotel room. It was 115 degrees. Some of you from Central America know how hot that is. And so Lester Summerall checked into his hotel and he began to pray. Well, as they were making preparations in the mountain, they had a powerful witch doctor. Very powerful. And he decided, I'm going to challenge that man. And he grabbed a bottle of blood. He grabbed a big old bullfrog. A bunch of stuff. And he began to come down the mountain. And so that morning, Lester Summerall left with his crew of people. And he began to make his way up the mountain to do the revival. And so halfway up the mountain, both of them met. The witch doctor and Lester Summerall. And the witch doctor, as he met Lester Summerall, he put the frog on the floor. He got his bottle of blood and some powder. And some powder. He threw the powder at him. He opened up this bottle of blood. And this is a live bullfrog. And he poured that bottle of blood in the bullfrog's mouth. And he turned it around. And he began to drink it. And then when he drank that bottle of blood, he started to throw incantations on him. Curses. He started to speak evil words against him. I remember one time, Pastor Kelly and I were in Cuba. And we were preaching the gospel. We were going from house to house. Pastor Arturo was with us. And I came to this house. And there was a lady and she was tied up. And she was spinning in a circle. And there was a witch doctor. And I seen him throwing blood on her. This is real. Telling her curses. And the Holy Ghost rose up inside of me. And I opened up the door. And I walked into this door. And I felt something powerful. And this witch doctor grabbed another pigeon, broke his head off, and began to throw blood at me. And as I was standing there, I began to tell him, the blood of Jesus. And then Pastor Kelly walks in, and we're both in there. And we're going to lay hands on him, cast the devil out of him. We were ready for the challenge. And this, all of a sudden, this girl, as she's turning around, full-blown demon-possessed. And Pastor Arturo reaches his hand inside, pulls us out, shuts the door, and says, we're not here for that. I want you to think about that for a moment. One day, I was going door to door. And there was this door opened. Just a little bit. And I looked in. And there was a scuffle in there. So I went inside. And I began to preach to these people. I began to tell them how God loved them. So the mom gives her life to the Lord. A week before that, she had a heart attack and all this side was broken down. And I prayed over her. In front of my eyes, God healed this woman. But I failed to realize. And in the corner of my eye, there was a man sitting down. And he had a machete with him. When I turned around, he gets up. He is full demon possessed. As I turn around, the door behind me closes. And I think, oh my God, I am in trouble. So I started to step back. And I'm not kidding you. The door breaks open. And one of my brothers in the Lord that was on the outreach with us steps into the room and grabs this guy. And we begin to wrestle with him. We pray over the family. Finally, we take that knife away from him. And we begin to pray for him. The whole family gets saved. The whole family. Give their life to the Lord. Listen to this. Now, that boy who got saved, his mom passed away. But he's still in Fred Thurman's church, Praise Chapel, Madera. Till this day. So I asked my friend, how did you know I was there? He said, I didn't. I was asking the Lord to lead me to a place. And I was walking down between the, I just cut through these apartments. And I felt the Lord say, right here. He said, why did you kick the door in though? And he said, I don't know. Something rose up inside of me. I want you to know something. In the spiritual realm, there's always going to be an attack. And so, back to the story. Lester Summerall, he's not moved. He's not afraid of what's going on. Some of the people with him took off running. Because witchcraft has power. And they've lived in that power. But Lester Summerall lived in another power. A power of God. That's greater than any other power. And I want you to know something. Lester Summerall didn't counsel him. Well, let me see. Let's make an appointment for you. I could meet with you in 2 weeks from now. He didn't counsel the demon out of him. He didn't invite him to church. Hello. He didn't say, well, you know what? Come over to my church. The story goes like this. That he laid his hand on the top of that guy's head. And he said, in the name of Jesus, come out. And this man fell on his back. He got his knee on his chest. Laid hands on him again. And this witch doctor got filled with the Holy Ghost. And got up, began to speak in tongues. And I want you to know something. Led him up to the village. Because he scared away all his other guides. Translated the English into their language. And the whole village got saved. And Lester Summerall came down the mountain the next day. late at night, went back to his room, and while he was in his room, went to bed. It was 115 degrees. Then all of a sudden, a cold breeze came into his room. He said he looked up. The curtains were stiff. And it was so cold. I don't know what is that called. When he was breathing mist. And at first he began to get a little bit afraid. And then he realized, I know who this is. This is that same demon who was in the man that met me yesterday halfway up the mountain. This is that same demon. And Lester Summerall got up. But before he can get up, his bed started to shake all the way over to the other side of the room to try and scare him. And you know, the story says that he got up off his bed and he said, I know who you are. And in the name of Jesus, get out of here. And all of a sudden, the demon left. The cold went all the way up back to 115 degrees. And then Lester Summerall walked over to the window. And he looked out. And he said this. Hey, devil! Get back in here! And all of a sudden, the demon came back into the room. It got real cold. And the curtains were stiff again. And Lester Summerall said this. He said, when you first came into this room, that bed was over there. Put it back. And all of a sudden the bed started shaking all the way back. And when it went back to the corner, he said, now get out of here. And the devil left. I'm here to tell you tonight that you've been in a battle. You should know by now where that demon's coming from. Because you battled him before. You made it through before. And you know what? In the attack, there's some things that are messed up. Well, you need to tell the devil to put it back. Put it back. Put it back. Hey, devil. When you first came in this room, this was over here. My joy was here. My peace was here. My manhood was here. My womanhood was here. I wasn't sick before. Put it back. Put it back. What is the devil taking from you tonight? What has the devil taken from you tonight? Because the only way the devil will listen to you and I is if we're in unity. If we're together. If we know of a greater power than the power of sickness. Than the power of fear. Than the power that has come against our lives. Here's the point tonight. I know who you are, devil. I know who you are now. You attacked me when I was a kid. You attacked me when I was in Cuba. You attacked me when I was up Northern California. You attacked me when I was in Africa. I know who you are now. Get out! I want you to stand to your feet tonight. Come on, there's some of us here tonight. There's some things that the devil moved around. And it's time to make him put them back. What is the devil taking from you tonight? What is the devil taking from you tonight? I'm here to tell you tonight. It's time to put it back. You know what? Don't stand around thinking about how you used to do this. Hey, you overcame it one time. You overcame it before. And now you're just giving into it. You know who he is. You know what he's done to you. Man, you could be home. And all of a sudden he's making you feel like you're no good. Your wife hates you. Your husband hates you. You're going to get fired on your job. And then we live our lives this way. I'm here to tell you, it's time to tell the devil to put it back. Put it back. There's something that the devil stole from you. It's time to put it back. If that's you tonight, I want you to get out of your seats and just come and stand right here at the altar. He's going to put it back tonight. He's going to put it back tonight. Let me tell you something tonight. Amen. The devil's a liar. You don't have to be afraid of the devil. You know what the devil is? He's just got a loud voice. He's a small little baby. Little baby. Chiquitito baby. With a big voice. He's like when you knock on the door and a chihuahua's barking. That's all. But you fought him before. You know what he's done. You know how he's come against your life. It's time right now to kick him out. Don't give him no more room. I know I've been hurt. I know that these things have happened. But you know what? I want God, put back my joy. Put back the peace of God in my life. If that's you tonight, amen. We're going to go before the Lord. The Bible says that they begin to praise God. Let's praise God right now. Let's praise God right now. Come on. Come on. You know the song. You can hear it. Come on. Let the Spirit stir up in your heart. Come on. Let the power of God begin to stir. Hold you down.